everyone, and welcome to our podcast. It's called Legally Black. We are two Black ladies who are here to talk to you about the law, legal issues, law school, being Black, America, and whatever else we want to talk to you about, because it's our podcast, So I am one of your hosts. My name is Simone. I am originally from Berkeley, California, and I love to cook, and I love everything Bravo and everything drag queens. So that's a little bit about me, and I'm going to turn it over to my host, co-hostess with the mostest.
You know it. It's your girl Cass. Now let me stop playing. But my name is Cass, y'all. I am also a second year law student at WashU. I'm from Chicago, Southside. What do I love? I love to go out, y'all. I love to party.
True.
You know, I try to go out 3 times a week, even in law school, which is a little crazy. But anyways, I love hip hop. As you all will see, I will talk about hip hop a lot. So
when you have your Eazy-E shirt on right
there. Yes, Eazy-E, gotta represent. Boys in the Hood.
You have your little your hair that's giving me very
to the listeners, my hair is straight right now. I need everyone to know that I usually wear my hair in 2 puffs. So you all will see soon. But that's neither here nor there.
T-Boz. That's what I was looking for. You're giving me T-Boz vibes.
I see that. Okay. You see that?
Thank you. With the ref.
I like that. T-Boz. Okay.
So the point of the podcast is we feel like we have a perspective as Black women in America in law school. And we feel like it would be a great thing for us to be able to impart some of our knowledge to people who might not know that much about the law, but want to. I think Americans especially, but people in general, are really starting to get into this whole understanding how our country works. Thank you. Welcome to the party. We love that you're here. And so we want to kind of talk about some legal issues, talk about some cases that are important in American history and today, and help make everyone understand what the law is about. And also understand that you're not crazy. The law is crazy.
And also understand for my Black folks, you can go to law school. You can do whatever you want to do. One thing about us is I believe we try to remain as authentic as possible. And so anyone can do it. You guys, if I'm doing it, trust me, y'all can do it, because I be out here. So
she is out here. So our first segment today, we felt like it would be really cool to talk about Bush v. Gore, the case from 2000 that really sort of shaped a lot of people's minds about what the Supreme Court's position is when it comes to elections in America. I think it's been talked about a lot recently because of the election that we just had and people contesting it. And, largely, of course, Republicans saying, well, the Supreme Court is going to step in here. And, the Supreme Court obviously said, no thanks. We don't want any of that. And I think it's important to know why. But also to know that the Supreme Court really, I don't think they really care that much. They're not trying to step in on these things. Yeah,
they have their lifetime appointments already.
Right, like these peasantry issues.
They're fine.
The people down on the ground, it doesn't matter. So Cass, why don't you walk us through maybe the beginning of this case, facts?
Yeah, give y'all some facts, a little procedural history. That's how I break down cases, y'all.
Give it to us, girl.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the procedural history real quick, because we don't need to talk about this forever. Basically, the Supreme Court of Florida ordered the circuit court to do mayoral recounts. Bush filed an emergency application for a stay of that mandate. And so basically, the logic behind the state Supreme Court ruling was that Gore satisfied his burden of proof under Florida law with respect to Miami-Dade County with their failure to tabulate some of the votes. 9,000 votes were in question, basically.
Which is kind of a lot. As we've seen in elections, they can go in the thousands, you know. One of the issues with the votes was because people were still using paper ballots and they weren't filling in the circles. They mm-hmm. had these punch card ballots. And mm-hmm. I don't even remember. I remember when this case happened. I was young, but I remember my parents being up in arms because people would punch the ballots and sometimes it wouldn't go through. Sometimes mm-hmm. there'd just be an impression. Sometimes they would do multiple. And so Florida found itself really being like, what the fuck? We don't know what you people were thinking and we don't know how to count these ballots.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. So just a little facts. Basically, the Florida Division of Elections had reported that Bush received about 2,909,135 votes, and then Gore received 2,907,351 votes, which is a margin of 1,784 votes. That's obviously really small.
Right.
So that alone seemed like it was a basis for a recount, right? Not really, but but it does, you do get an automatic recount by machine if that happens. But the issue was the manual recounts, I guess.
Right, because different counties, even within the same county, the manual recounts that were going on, there was no standard for it.
Exactly.
The people that were counting had to figure out what the intent of the voter was.
Mm-hmm, the legal vote.
Looking at these weird ballots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the court talks about in their opinion later on that intent is something that, you know, people come up with all the time, but you're not talking about someone on the stand. You're not talking about a witness. Yeah. You're talking about a piece of paper.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah, intent is a weird thing to use for a vote. At least, I don't know if I want Florida people telling me what my opinion is, you know. I don't know about that.
And this was even, 10 years ago, or it was still wild, I'm sure.
Can't trust them Florida folks.
Sorry, Florida, but you know who you are. You...
Okay. So the issue, which is the legal question that the case brings up. The issue is basically whether or not the Florida Supreme Court established new standards for resolving presidential elections, and if those standards violate the Constitution, specifically equal protection and due process clause.
Yeah. I shouldn't say obviously. Equal protection clause is important. Due process, it's important. Sorry, my dad was playing with the toy. But the court is really trying to figure out here, are the votes that are being counted, are they going to be counted rightfully? Are mm-hmm. people going to feel like their vote is being heard? Or are we taking away votes or taking these votes into account when they shouldn't be?
Yeah. Which, you know, it's weird. Like when I was like reading the majority, which I usually wouldn't go with, it makes sense today, but it's also because I want it to make sense now.
It's true.
But like the one thing that's the one like quote legal analysis that stood out, and I think is what the case is based off, is just the Supreme Court stated that the state may not, by later arbitrary or disparate treatment, value one person's vote over that of another.
Right. And like, we all want that, right? Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's like, yeah, we would like the court to take care of these things and not count other people's votes over another person's vote.
But the Florida people. Mm.
I know. And I do think that the court here doesn't really allow for, like, they talk about how the election is close and that there's a sort of a time issue with deciding these things that needs to happen now. But I do think that the court, in deciding that the Florida Supreme Court was wrong here, doesn't isn't taking into account the timely issue on Florida's side. Like, they weren't able to come up with these standards and practices because they didn't have them. So they had to come up with them sort of on the fly. And I get it. Like, we don't want our state officials just coming up with these things on the fly, but they kind of had to. And so I feel like the court should have taken that into account and maybe thought about the election from Florida's side. Which, I'm not normally on Florida's side, but
still not. But I think that was my problem too. It didn't seem like, and I think this for me, the Supreme Court does this a lot, where they have this theoretical rule. It's like, fam, how do I apply this? Like, come on.
Well, exactly, and they're like, after this, I'm sure plenty of states will come up with these standards and practices, but in this case, we just can't deal with it. So, I mean, I guess they would. They probably do now, but. It just seems kind of, I guess, whatever. So obviously, I think one thing that we are here to help our listeners with is to read the cases and read the language and kind of break it down for people who don't know what the Supreme Court is saying. Because honestly, you shouldn't know what the Supreme Court is saying.
I don't know what they be saying.
Exactly.
Most of the time.
It took us our amount of time in law school to figure out what the Supreme Court is saying. And still, we have to sit back and think about it for a long time. So I do think that with this case, they are trying to establish that, the Equal Protection Clause is important. But if you look at the dissents, there's four, which is kind of excessive. We decided to look at our girl, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's, because I don't know, RIP. And also she really was a great legal scholar. She wrote clearly and we were able to figure out what she was saying.
I will give her that. I will give her that one.
And in the dissent, she really talks about how, she talks about the oral arguments, and she basically says that the Bush side did not actually come up with a good enough argument for this being an equal protection problem. And, we don't have the oral arguments. We didn't go back and look. You can listen to them. I'm sure they're hours long. Very boring. Sorry, everyone. We're paraphrasing here, but I do think that that is something that's important. Sometimes courts do this, and this is kind of what people need to realize about the court system, is judges do hear things sometimes and kind of run with them. And so if the Bush side, decided to come with an equal protection claim, and they brought up maybe one or two things, and in Justice Ginsburg and probably the other dissents opinions, it's not enough. The majority opinion is still gonna take that and say, we don't want this to come up again. We don't want this to be an equal protection issue actually and have us be embarrassed later on. So we're just gonna kind of come up with the logic with the decision in mind.
They do that all the time, at least in my opinion. They have the desired outcome and then they just trace however they want to in order to get to the desired outcome.
It's true. Which,
sometimes I'm happy with the, I don't know, usually I'm not happy with it, but sometimes I am. So I just, what can you say?
Right, yeah. What I will say is that you do find with some equal protection cases that the court really picks and chooses what it decides. And we'll talk about equal protection later on because it comes up all the time. And it is something that we are going to dive into with some other cases. One thing that I think, one reason why I felt like it would be interesting to do this case is to kind of compare it to what's going on today and to point out to Trump supporters, even though I assume they will not be listening to this podcast.
Well,
to point out to them that this is a completely different situation and that there were specific factual issues going on in Florida at the time. There were actual facts. And in this election that just happened, 2020, the facts, quote unquote, that like Texas wanted to claim in their decision, in their lawsuit for the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court rightfully denied.
Definitely white people.
They're very different, of course. Yes. These cases are very different. And so for people who don't understand, when does the Supreme Court come in and when do they not?
Never.
The general answer is never. They will not. No, thank you.
No, but seriously, like, this was actually, like, contestable issue in Bush v. Gore, so, like...
And it had gotten all the way to the Florida Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Whereas, this has not.
Y'all don't stand a chance. That's really... Unless they get up in their wilder. I don't know. It is a conservative majority in the Supreme Court, but still, y'all don't stand a chance.
Well, right. And that's what I think is important because, you know, Trump appointed a lot, you know, these people. And we have Amy, our, I was going to say our girl Amy, but obviously she's not my girl. And she's out here, you know, I don't think she's going to put her, I don't think she wants to get her hands in this.
No.
I don't think that the Supreme Court thinks this is like worth their time. Like I said, we are just merely peasants to their royal highnesses. So.
And you know, like the whole, like the basis of the legal arguments that you can't value one person's vote over that of another. And the reality is that all the, you know, Trump supporters, whoever support this whole fraud, it's really saying that too many Black people voted. That's really what is going on. So, I mean, it's nothing they could do. I don't know. We came out, we showed out, did our thug dizzle.
I mean, I think you're totally right. I think Black people are becoming less and less disenfranchised thanks to angels like Stacey Abrams. And they are actually voting because they can, because people are helping them get there instead yeah. of allowing for the laws in the states that have historically crushed the vote of many Black Americans. And so I think that's what happens. That's why this sort of argument that a lot of Trump supporters have that, oh, well, do you really think that Biden got more votes than Barack Obama?
Yes, nigga.
Yeah,
I believe- yes, I do. I do, actually.
Yeah. I do believe that, even if some of our, you know, liberal, I don't know, some of the whites left us to vote for Trump, more people of color were able to vote this election. Thank you. Yeah. And so they voted for Biden, and we shall see what happens with that.
I mean, it's over with. I mean.
Right. I just meant we'll see what happens with the Biden administration.
Oh, I just, you know. I'm looking for my next STEMI, as we call it now.
Yes, give us the STEMI.
That's the kind of not enough. So at the very least, right. I need to do that ASAP.
Yeah.
Increase that STEMI.
Y'all, we got books to buy. That's what I'm saying. And this $600, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a law school textbook, but that'll buy you about a quarter. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm exaggerating. But honestly, they're a lot. Why are textbooks so expensive?
Yeah. No, it's 1.5 maybe.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not cute, y'all. I'm
trying to get one of them constitutional law textbooks.
Ugh. But no, on a on another note, Simone.
Yes.
That shit that happened at the Capitol.
Woo. Man. Tell me what you thought about that, Cassidy.
Honestly, I laughed. I laughed the whole fucking day, Simone.
You went on Twitter.
Oh my God. Because I was like, these white folks crazy as hell. You know what I can get? You willing to risk your life to be racist. I cannot. I cannot fathom it. Like,
but you know what? That is really America's creed. Risk your life to be racist.
wild. That's a wild motto right there.
Hey, we love it. We love that in America.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my, like that lady who got shot. And granted, I don't condone the death of nobody, but it's like, fam, you travel to go be racist.
I mean, yeah. And I saw that there was a woman who got trampled and she's one of the people that died because like four people died. But also yeah. She had a flag that was the snake that said, don't tread on me.
Did she really?
Yes.
That's wild. That is crazy.
Look, disclaimer, we are not laughing at the deaths of people, but people, I mean, these jokes write themselves. And this is really why Black Twitter has just gone off. I mean, we've had a lovely couple of days, live, laugh, loving with Black Twitter. And I just want to thank them.
No, honestly, I was like, as all the stuff was going down at the Capitol, I'm like literally waiting for everything to erupt on Twitter. Like,
I had Twitter open. I had my iPad, my computer, my TV. I'm like, Twitter, what's going on? Like, news, what's going on? Like, give me the things. One thing that I saw that I had to bring up that I loved, this was today, because I know that a couple of celebrities have been getting heat for not speaking up and not posting on Twitter, which I do think is something we should stop doing. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
I don't really care either.
I get it. If you didn't want to say anything, don't say anything. Like, I assume that you are against this, because if you weren't, you'd be saying something.
Yeah.
About how you were into it. So, anywho, I saw something from our girl Demi Lovato. She was out here posting how people are asking her to stop talking about politics and to get back in the studio and release a new album, which I'm like, who?
Are you talking about her post?
Yes. And Black Twitter, wow.
They be cooking her. I be feeling bad for her. I'd be
this
like,
woman a year ago,
breathe.
She almost died from a drug overdose, and we have given her almost no time.
No, they I saw this one post. Oh my god, it was so bad. Y'all, I laughed at it, but it was like, y'all really be on that with her. It was basically like, it was like a meme, and it was like Demi Lovato's favorite thing, and it was like a big ass spoon. And I'm like, y'all so petty.
That's rude. That's rude. But this one, okay, this I'll shout out to Real Housewives fans who are listening to this podcast, which is a pretty specific Venn diagram, but I know you're out there. There was a meme about Demi Lovato, you know, okay, Demi Lovato in the studio, and it was a video from Real Housewives of New Jersey, like season 3, I think, when one of the kids is singing at a birthday party, and she's just singing this terrible sad song. And I need for everyone to like hear what was going on in this. Hold on.
No, I seen one meme. Oh, I died. And it was I know you guys know Usher's Confessions, like the interlude when he's like on the phone. And they told me that was Demi in the studio. And I just don't know why she do, like, it's crazy. The girl can't even breathe without people talking about her.
She can't. We're not nice.
Hey, it's the way the cookie crumble.
I mean, honestly, the best thing that Black people have ever given us is Black Twitter. And I'm including peanut butter.
You think that's the best? I mean, we've done a lot of great things, so I'm not going to go there, but...
But this is, it's a collective, it's like, I think what's about it is it's like a way to build a community over Twitter that just is like an infallible force. It can come from anywhere, do anything.
It's great. And you know what's crazy? Apparently white people actually be confused about, what, like, I don't know.
Yes, I know. I do hear that.
But you know, I just made a Twitter account recently.
if I'm going to be real honest, sometimes I'm confused.
So, really?
You get it. It's okay.
I follow like 30 people and I only like, it's Black Twitter instantly. Like, I don't know how I like unlocked it. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
30 people I follow are just very.
Let me know who you're following, because I follow like Real Housewives and drag queens, like I said, in my.
That might be the issue.
I mean, there's a couple of other people, but I'm just saying they are the ones that give me the content. And let's say another community that is always there for the Twitter content is the Drag Race and drag queen community.
Are they funny?
Oh, they are funny, girl. Okay. But they're not about. Yeah, I mean, most of the time it's about politics or what's going on in America, but they use, I mean, there's so much content from their own.
Okay.
So you really have to kind of know.
Oh, okay.
And then it will really make sense. And some of them are just straight up comedians. I mean, some of the contestants on Drag Race have been gone on and had like actual comedy careers. Mm. So those ones are the best, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna stick to Black Twitter, but
I mean, different strokes, man.
But no, back to this Capitol shit, y'all. I was in a maze, but I was like low key amazed. I don't know, like I was like, I wasn't shocked. I was like, damn, they really doing all of this.
I was kind of sitting here like, oh, okay, because you know, I know that we are collectively annoyed by the fact that all these white people were allowed to just like walk up into the Capitol
and they could destroy that motherfucker.
However, it did provide so much to watch. I was kind of sitting there like, oh, they're inside. Oh, okay, they're over. Like,
it was great. Like, I really felt really good being a Black person yesterday. I was oh, was that yesterday? I don't know. Whatever day that was.
Oh my gosh, right. This whole week.
No, I felt really good. Like, this wasn't my problem, even though we kind of are, they consider us the problem, but this wasn't our problem.
Right. It was white on white crime. I mean, why is no one talking about that? That's what I wanted.
Right. No, it was, I was like, wow, these thugs is crazy.
Right. All of these white people out here. I mean, burning down your community isn't helping anyone.
No, not at all. Not at all. No. Yeah, I didn't like it. I was just like, man, these savages.
What I do think is interesting, to bring it back to the lore, is that I think, I mean, obviously people are going to be arrested. There's people being arrested right now. I think more people probably should have just been arrested when it was going on. I don't know why, like, this one guy who was like up in Nancy Pelosi's office, they're like, oh, the Arkansas police have arrested him in his home. And I'm like, he made it all the way back to Arkansas? Yeah. But he didn't get arrested. And I mean, they're facing some serious federal crimes, which, I mean, they should be.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say put them in prison, but man, put them in prison.
Right, because I am against prison, but these people, they should go to prison.
They should, I know.
Prison is for anyone, it's for these people.
Yes, I agree.
And then maybe they'll come out prison
reformed. Right?
Wouldn't that be crazy if these people went to prison and then were reformed? Because our prisons are so amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
man, not gonna happen, but man, no, yeah, apparently like a whole bunch of them are like, well, we weren't there for that, and it's like, climbing walls, why? I'm not just out here climbing walls.
They like saw a crowd and they like decided to join in because they thought like maybe there was like a fight.
Yeah, it was really weird excuses coming up, and I was like,
yeah. No, and I mean, because of all of the protests that happened this summer, you know, Trump made an executive order that required like a 10-year minimum sentence for people that were attacking like the federal buildings in the different states. And so these people are about to have to deal with what mandatory minimums do to your life, which, welcome to the club, they're terrible. And, you know, I mean, I think hopefully our president will soon be joining those people.
Yeah,
that's an interesting topic, I think. Trump and all of his crimes. Now that he's not president anymore, I think some prosecutors are really gonna,
I think they're gonna try. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, the money stuff is always where it's the easiest to get someone on, right? I mean, that's how they got Al Capone, right? It was like with his taxes. Like, if you can prove that someone is defrauding a company, people, the government, which obviously like Trump probably has done because he like loves fraud. He like is the biggest.
I love fraud, yes. that I can attest to.
I'm sure they can find it. Plus with this phone call nonsense, which.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh my. A few days, guys. So much has happened.
That, I was like, this man is tripping. Like, I mean, he's been tripping, you know, obviously.
Well, so I try to not listen to Trump all that much. Like, I read what happens and I'll read things that he says. Like, I've really tried over the last 4 years to just like avoid his voice because it's terrible.
You know, can I tell you a secret? And it's probably not a secret, but
a secret.
I laugh at everything Trump says.
Oh,
I think he is oh my God. He is so funny to me. Like, and not like in a, it's sad that he's that funny because he's our president and I don't need my president to be that funny, but he's terrible. I'm not saying he's not terrible, you guys. I just think like what he says is so dumb that it's like almost, it not almost, it is funny. And he just says like shit that I would never expect anyone to say. So it's just funny. I don't know.
I know what you mean. I mean, I think it's crazy because like I never watched The Apprentice. Like I never.
Yeah, me neither.
Like saw what, I never, you know, really heard him before being president. Like I tried, I didn't like him or hate him. I just like didn't care about him at all.
Right. Yeah.
And so then I'm listening to him, you know, in the debates and as he is president, and you're like, why does anyone think you're smart or rich or any of this?
You know, speaking of that, you know what I find so interesting is that I noticed that white people, specifically like white liberals, are always very angry. Like, and I like, it is weird to me. Like, it's not weird to me, but they're just very mad at everything Trump says. Like, it's so terrible, which it is. And I'm just like, man, I doubt you guys had this anger for the other presidents that were also terrible.
Well, thank you. I think that's really a great point to bring up because it's like everyone keeps saying things like, this isn't my America, or like, this isn't what America is. And you're like, this is what America is. And George W. Bush, Clinton. I mean, you take it back.
Yeah.
Nixon. I mean, all of these people. Reagan. Yeah. George Washington. I said it.
I said it. No one's surprised at all.
Yeah, that's right. I know some American history.
They were all terrible. Especially towards
Black. Terrible. Sorry. Yeah. They were.
Yeah.
And the only reason why Barack Obama was able to string together a coherent sentence was because his entire life he was probably told by everyone around him that he had to at least be able to read and write if he wanted to be president better than all the boring white people that were president.
I will say that nigga has swag though. Got swag.
He does. That's what I'm saying. He was better than all of them. Oh, so we all have this, like, in our mind, we think all of the other presidents sounded like Obama. And he was the smart, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
The most intellectually intelligent.
Yes.
That was the president that we've had in a long time. And I'm not saying best, worst, greatest, whatever. No,
we know he did war crimes. We know. We know. We don't need to get into it, but we know.
But I still think he was smarter. I mean, read his books.
No, he's definitely smarter.
And of course, he was married to Michelle.
Right.
The queen.
The smartest.
Literally smarter than him.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, but no, that upsets me. And then, like, white people be like, why aren't you mad? And it's like, why would I be angry? Like, I'm obviously, I feel some type of way and I don't like it, but like, You're not gonna waste my time fuming like y'all. Like, I don't have time for that.
I was angry about every terrible white person in America. Let's limit it to America, even, because if I tried to explain the entire world, no.
Yeah.
I would not have time to live my life.
Yeah, exactly. No. But yeah, I find it so interesting. And I get it. Like, he is like very reprehensible, but it's just, that's one of my issues.
The thing is, though, he is not, like, he did terrible things, but like, people his entire life and his entire career have allowed him to be this person.
Yeah.
So he did it because we all, look, America, we're complicit. Sorry. People allowed for him to be this person his entire life, and they praised him for it. Yes. And now we're mad that at 70 fucking five, he can't get into his head that people don't like him and people don't trust him and people think he's dumb. He lived his entire life being told he was the smartest, richest, best person. And even though clearly to the eye, none of those things are true.
No,
look, the brain can convince.
Hey, the brain is a crazy thing. I do know that. You know the funniest thing I've ever heard Trump say? Not the funniest, but definitely something that like always sticks to me is that when he said that he should put his face on Mount Rushmore, I thought that was so like, okay, like
no one okay. wants my face on a rock.
Also, go put your face up there with them terrible white dudes. I don't care. Like, sure, you fit right in. So go do it. Like,
you know what though? How would we carve his hair?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I've never seen Mount Rushmore in person, but no. It's just the faces, right? It's like not their hair.
Yeah, I think it's just the faces. Like,
I mean, they all had like weird wigs anyway. So,
right. I mean, that'd be interesting.
An artistic marvel. Maybe we can find a big rock that is not something that Native Americans care about and carve Trump's hair into something. I want to see like a hair, like all the presidents.
You should commission this.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to an artist friend I know. I just need a quick sculpture. I need the toupee. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I like that. I kind of want to see him in Mount Rushmore. I'm not gonna lie, he's gonna be really ugly.
Now you're into it. You're like,
he's so ridiculous, and I obviously don't care about Mount Rushmore. Like,
right?
No, that's hilarious though. Oh, man, that guy is crazy.
I actually think like listening to that call with the Georgia Commission was the first time that I heard him talk that long. And he was honestly, I was reading up on like people thinking about like if they were going to be able to charge Trump with a crime for this call, right? Like, would it be extortion? Is it conspiracy? Is there like something there or something?
I don't think they can do anything.
Well, so the issue that they were saying they have is that with all of it, it's like, there's intent, right? Back to intent. You have to prove intent. You have to prove, like, there's this statute that's kind of about, like, election tampering. And it says that someone has to knowingly and willfully deprive, defraud, or attempt to deprive and defraud the residents of a state of a fair and impartially conducted election process, which in general speaking, you could say, okay, that sounds like something he did. But
he was cleverly stringing his words low key.
That's kind of it. Is the intent there? Was it willful? And you know, it's hard because anyone trying this case, any jury on this case is going to hear the call and know Trump, right? It's like so hard to try this person because there's no way of having an impartial jury. Because everyone either
loves or hate, yeah.
So how do you find people to do this?
And I get me.
Yeah, it should all be all black people.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. and prove that it was willful. I mean, I just think that that's tough. I don't think that you can. And that's unfortunate because he should be. I mean, there's plenty of other crimes, right?
Yeah. It's
like, yeah. We are not wanting for crimes here.
Yeah. It's not a lack thereof. Right. I agree. No, but it was, I was like, man, this motherfucker's wild, but he not being as wild as I need him to be to get like convicted.
Exactly. That's, yeah. And I think what that is actually, you're hitting something on the head that I've kind of been like, sometimes Americans, like, obviously this sort of insurrection at the Capitol really brought a lot of people to be like, oh my God, like, what is going on here? But like, we have a really hard time with the idea that just because you hear it or you see it, like you think that this phone call is wild, it is not wild enough, you know, like, in order for someone to actually have to deal with the law in cases like this, that is not enough. And unless you have a staffer in the White House secretly recording, and Trump is like, we're gonna get Georgia to do this, blah blah blah, because I want to make sure that I win and I need, you know, and lays it all out, it's not enough. So hopefully that staffer's out there.
Please. No, but you know what though? I was like, this man is hilarious. He said, fine, what was it? 11,000 votes plus one more than what we need. Like,
it's just one. You want him to commit a fraud. The entire election. And I'm like, no, honey, no. That's not math. Georgia's not it.
Sorry. I was like, sir, you're telling them to at least commit fraud on one vote so you can win Georgia. Like, what? I was like, okay, I see where you're going, but.
And when he's talking to the guy and they're like, we didn't find any, like the guy on the phone has to be like, we need factual evidence.
Yeah.
You explain what facts are to our president. Like, sorry, America. Oh,
that's a crazy car we live in. I know we look crazy as hell to everybody else.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're worried. And also probably loving it.
Oh yeah, I would be loving it. I'm loving it down there now.
Right. And I'm in America. I can only guess.
Yeah, no, they're probably like, these niggas is crazy. My gosh. But it ain't us. It ain't the black folk. I need everybody to know.
No, that's right.
It's not us.
So I think that we should move into the next section of our podcast, the end part, where me and Cass are gonna let you in on a little bit of information about ourselves that we love. So Cass, why don't you start us off with songs of the week?
Yes. All right, you guys, so every week I'm gonna give you my songs of the week, basically my top five songs that I'm loving right now. They're not new because it takes me a very long time to listen to music. So y'all probably already heard some of this shit a year ago, but I'm gonna get to it. So one of my songs is, drum roll. Okay, no drum roll.
I'll put that in later.
No, it's okay. I was joking. But one of my songs is Scotty Beam by Freddie Gibbs. My gosh, this man. Wow. By the way, I don't know if you've seen the, I'm going to talk about the song in a second, but I don't know if you've seen memes, but Scotty Gibbs. I'm saying a wrong name. Freddie Gibbs. Look at me. Fuck. Not Scotty Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs looks like the new senator.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy. It's looking wild.
Let me look him up.
Yes, please look up Freddie Gibbs and then look up Warnick. I'm like, oh, this is freaky. Like, I low-key think Freddie Gibbs is the new senator.
Ooh, if Warnick has abs like Freddie Gibbs, then I'm in.
I think Warnick is Freddie Gibbs. That's what, let me not spoil
conspiracy. He would have his abs, which I am all about.
Yeah, but don't they look alike?
Yeah, but he's from Indiana.
Indianimal. as I heard people say.
Oh.
I don't know if that's what they call it. The indie animals. Now let me stop.
Where are the animals at?
But no, this Scotty Beam by Freddie Gibbs, it is one of my favorite songs. I've been playing that shit for like a year damn near. However long that album been out, I've been playing it. The album is amazing. He's actually up for a Grammy, at least one Grammy. I think best rap album. I hope he wins because I really do think he objectively has the best rap album of the year. My next song is Songs About You by Chika.
That one I liked.
Right?
That's a good song.
It's a little jazzy, and she's from Alabama, which I was surprised to learn.
Alabama moles.
I don't know if I like that one as much. I didn't like that. But no, it's like a little jazzy. She's amazing. Like she be spitting for real, for real.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend. Next song is Sammy Gravano by Ty Money. Ooh, that song is... Simone, did you listen to that song? You know that's my jam.
Look, I listened to all of them.
Did you?
I did like Sammy...
Gravano. Got a thought bitch hot and wet.
Yeah, I guess like to me, it wasn't like hype enough.
What?
You know I like a song with a little more like...
Yeah, I know, but I...
It was good. It was my second favorite.
Okay, that one line gets me hype.
I know, you say it a lot.
Oh, that's hilarious. But yes, no, and he's from Chicago. Woo-hoo. So yeah, Ty Money, Sammy Gravano. Next song, a little R&B for you, is Clouded by Brent. Love me some Brent. That whole album is terrific. Simone, why are you looking like that?
I feel like it was kind of sad.
What?
The song. Was he it not sad?
He's been a fucking superstar since he was 19.
How I was listening to the song and I felt sad about it.
Nope, he saved you on the East Side with his OGs. All that.
Maybe it was like a nostalgia.
I don't know if it was quite nostalgic, but I wasn't sad. Okay.
Well, that's the vibe I got, so.
Okay, I mean, I guess if you
full disclosure, obviously we listen to different music, and so Cassidy will send me these songs, and I'll listen to them before the week is done. But maybe not twice, you know.
Kayla, you got sad. You got like that's the vibe you got.
I don't know. Yeah, I like Songs About You. I listened to that one a couple of times.
Nice. Clouded by Brent.
Like a lady rapper.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. You know, I usually most of the people I listen to are men. To be honest, I just for some reason, I don't know. Like I'd be feeling like them. I don't know. It'd be weird. Like I get teed. Like they should really be resonating with me for some reason. I don't know. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's the language. I don't know what it is. But they be doing it for me. But my last song, Close Enough to Hurt by Rod Wave. You guys, somebody put me on to Rod Wave and only this one song. They told me to listen to this one song. And I haven't stopped playing it for like the last 2 weeks. But yeah, those are my top five songs of the week.
Thank you, DJ Cass. The rapper. One day, one of the songs will be cast.
Oh.
So,
I dabble with rapping. Just to let y'all know.
Yes, she's a rapper in her free time. Because we have so much free time in law school. Everyone should do it. So, my segment is going to be Recipe of the Week. Or day, because, you know, whatever, it'll be either a recipe. I mean, I feel like it's either a recipe that I've made that day or something that I've been thinking about making for a week. So today, my recipe is a little Mediterranean frittata. This was something I came up with myself because I am currently not eating a lot of things and I'm trying to keep my diet to be lots of whole foods. So I've been making a lot of frittatas to keep in the fridge and have for the week. And one of the ideas I came up with, because I just had some really lovely olives, I had...
Simone, can you explain what a frittata is? Thank you. I barely know.
Explain the Mediterranean aspect, but you're right. Frittata is more important. So a frittata, you also may have heard it called like a tortilla espanola, which is basically an egg-based dish that you make in a pan in the oven. And it's mostly eggs. And you bake it and it has all the vegetables or whatever it is that you want to put inside. So I used to work at this cafe in Berkeley that had the best frittatas. They make them every day. They're delicious. So I got really used to having frittatas in my life. So I'll make one. Yes, Cassidy, hand up.
What's the difference between frittata and quiche?
Great question. So quiche typically has a crust, which is something that frittatas don't have. But also quiches usually have a lot more cream in them. And the intent, I guess, behind a quiche is to have it be like a creamy, cheesy, maybe there's bacon in it. That's like a quiche Lorraine, but really a quiche is going to be more about the dairy products. And I think frittatas are a little more versatile because people just like throw a bunch of veggies in and maybe a cheese. And then it's kind of about the egg and the veggies.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and that's what I think the difference is. This cafe I worked at had both, and our quiches were always like really lovely, sort of deep crusted pie sort of looking things that were just really creamy. And then the frittatas had all sorts of stuff. So I made a Mediterranean frittata today. I put some eggplants, red onions, bell peppers, and some olives, which I know sounds kind of weird, but they were really good. I chopped them up and kind of sauteed everything together. Poured the eggs on it and then put it in the oven. And I put a little bit of harissa in the eggs, which is a Mediterranean sauce that's made. It's also like North African. It's made with peppers and it's spicy. So it's kind of looks like something you'd see like in a spicy aisle with like hot sauces. But it's, you know, yeah, it's like an oily sauce that's the base is red peppers. So yeah, that was my Mediterranean frittata. It was delicious.
I have a question.
Yes.
What do you put your oven on and for how long?
Great question. So I do about 400 degrees and you can put it in for 15 to 20. Basically you want the eggs to look like they're pulling away from the sides. You want to really grease up your pan before you put the eggs in so it comes out in one piece, like one big round piece. And you'll see them because it bakes together. So it kind of pulls away from the sides and you'll be able to shake the pan a little bit and you want the eggs to be set in the middle. So it takes about 15 minutes, maybe 18, depending on your oven. And you can always just kind of put it back in before you need to.
Okay, quick. So I'm gonna just run this down from what I gathered to make sure I got this correct.
Yes.
So in a separate pan, you saute all your vegetables, correct?
I do everything in one pan.
Okay, so in the pan, you saute all your vegetables.
Yes.
And then do you take it out and then re-grease it?
So actually what I do is I did the onions and the olives first, and then I took them out. And then I added more grease and I did the eggplants and the bell peppers because they need a little bit more time. I didn't want to overcook the onions or like do something weird with the olives because I just wanted the olives to be like right tasting.
Right. Yeah.
So once the eggplants had kind of cooked maybe halfway through, so that took about maybe 10 minutes, you scramble the eggs and it's like 8 to 10 eggs.
Oh, that's a lot of eggs.
Yeah. So, cause the whole thing is eggs, right? So, right. Yeah. I poured the egg mixture into the pan with the eggplants and the peppers. And then I just kind of sprinkled the onions and the olives on top. And then I threw it right in the oven. Same pan. So
a frittata is basically like a freaky omelet.
Yes, but it's bigger and you don't fold it. So it is an omelet in that it is made out of eggs and otherwise completely different.
I would think of it as a freaky omelet.
You know, a freaky omelet is a great way to describe
it. Yeah. That's what I thought when you
It's like an omelet that like went to the gym.
Okay.
Beefed itself up.
Okay. Freaky omelet is how I will describe it. I like that better. Wow, Simone.
That was great. I think we should turn to our very last segment, which is small business shout out. We are really excited to have this podcast. And one of the things that we thought might be really fun to do would be to shout out Black owned businesses that we know of and or have just found out about. Maybe it's someone on Instagram that we love. So if you're hearing this and you know of some, please send them our way and leave a comment or something, and we'll be able to shout them out and hopefully get them some new followers and customers. So today we're going to shout out one of my best girlfriends. Her name is Morgan. She owns the store called Yam. It is an upcycled jewelry, handmade jewelry store that she makes herself. She lives in Queens. It's vintage. It's cool. And she's great. Lizzo has worn her stuff. She's been on a lot of listicles. So she's hot. All of her stuff sells out every Christmas. But really look her up. She's amazing. Her Instagram handle is yam_NYC. She's a beautiful Black woman who I've known since I was a wee baby. And she's killing the game. So
great.
Go follow Yam. Buy the jewelry.
Yes, yes, yes. Do that. Wow, you guys, this is great. Thank you for listening. I do want to tell everyone, I know we didn't talk about law school much, but we're still on break. But guess what? We start class. I start class next week, so.
Me too, girl.
Intercession, huh?
Oh, wait, just kidding. One more week for me.
Okay. Well, so we will be talking about law school very soon, and we will be telling you all the crazy things, mainly just some crazy-ass shit people be saying, but anyways, thank you all for listening. I hope you guys listen again next week and the week after.
And forever until we decide to stop doing this. Thanks, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.